holding here Parashas Mishpatim. And the first piece is an Akedah and an Abarbanel. We'll see the next piece. Now, the Akedah and Abarbanel, first of all, just general speaking, the Abarbanel, they lived fairly much at the same time. The Abarbanel is accused a bit of plagiarizing pieces from the Akedah. The truth was, a lot of times in those days, people quoted, you know, they brought down certain quote. The Abarbanel is a ma'asif. So the Akedah says something, and then the Abarbanel speaks about it in a bigger eifin. But it's the same nekuda. And basically, the point is, what does civic law have to do with the Torah? So the first piece, behine, im zehuta vade heitav asofik shashabatchila, al mailas ela mishpatim. So it started by asking, what's the mail of mishpatim? V'nisbayo, ki gam shatia mailu zehachila ka mishpatim nerech v'achoyim anayisai saw, so his problem was like this. His problem was, sacha kol, we're dealing with physical objects, and what's the best way how to arrange these physical objects? And mashlema davadayma, if the Torah were to give a recipe for cholent, so cholent is taki very, very nice, and it's very wonderful, but what's the significance of having a Torah recipe for cholent? I know Rabbi Kanievsky's recipe for challah is very, very important. But why would in the world would a Torah write about how to conduct monetary affairs? So it says, even though it deals with things that are physical, lotia madregas from Yezachalokim, ki be'emes noise achele kaze, eina kinyanam medumik vishka sabnu. The topic is not the items that you're dealing with. It's about the people acting in the situation. This is all about the people and how people who engage in business become more shlemistic in the way they engage. So the lowest dark is what we would call seichel, our understanding of what's right and wrong, all the way through the nefesh, which is a higher madriga. And then he says a very strong lashon, tipach rucham benafshon shodir osel chachmat Talmud zal. To klola to those who speak out against chachmat Talmud. They say that, you know, real ruchnius is Kabbalah, but talking about business and finance, all this stuff, that's just chol v'tzarech. So he says the real topic is the person, and since dealing with money is one of a person's primary activities, how to deal, what to deal, when a person needs to take a step back, and when the person needs to take a step forward, and so on. Those are all the topic that we're talking about, and that's where we have this, that's why it's Torah and so on. That's the Akedah. And the Barbanel says, Alumo Barichus, and he says as follows, Tase El Meshpatim, Reisach Men Akdash of Vashat Torah, Bedeus Chalukos. They're trying to work out whether there is any type of seder and order logic in the ways these dinim are presented. The Chorder and Barbanel is talking about the internal logic in terms of the dinim mishpatim. There does not seem to be offhand any seder. Ad shakadmeinim amru tzadashin esmuchim. Many feel there's no order, and that's why the shaila is, do we dash a smuchim or not, is a logical question. If there's an order, then smuchim is natural. The Torah put things together for a reason. But some said ain't said mishnah, and therefore it's, the order makes no difference.
Ish
And people did try to say what the order is. It seems arbitrary. You can go either way. Logic tells you that the Torah did not throw things down random. Randomness means that there is no das or seichel behind something. I want to even take a mashal from a physical world. You know, sometimes a person is a scatterbrain, and he talks, and there's no rhyme or reason for what he's saying, and so on. You have a person who prepares notes. He's a lawyer, and he prepares everything very carefully, and he spells out a document in a way where the construction is really, really tight, and everything follows on. But a person who's a bardas and a barchacham, even when he didn't prepare it, you would assume there would be some logical flow to what he says, not sort of random, whatever fell into his head. So how could Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu be random? The word random means that it's a hafkor from Dakir Chochma. Let's take an example. We believe in Torah Gematria is very important. But if, let's say, I say the Gematria here has no significance, there wouldn't be a stira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu certain places wanted which Dakir Gematria is open, it's not. So it's not something we can't accept. But if somebody says the Torah, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw out the dinim at random, if you were to say this anything about a person, you would think the person is a chasadas. If a Rebbe teaches something, every day teaches something random, whatever it is that fell into his head that day, you would say the person is not a bardas. So how could it be in Torah? So he says, Kein roi liachas la'abarius barash mei shayfet kot b'teroisav, doifu gnei b'abulti sidr. You are degrading the Torah by saying, Sha'ein roi liachas la'kot shacham ha'chavarasav, even somebody who is a minor chacham, and he puts out a sefer, you expect the sefer to have some logical progression. V'gam oisar kad meiner sha'omei mukta mukha b'teroisav, d'sha'ein seder b'mishnah, la'omei kein bi'in echad ba'atzmoi, means the Torah is not written in chronological order. And if anything, that strengthens this point. When I tell you a story in chronological order, so the order is chronology. This happened first, second, third, fourth. If I'm a chacham and I don't tell you the story in chronological order, I'm trying to make a point. I start with what I feel is the ikar nekuda, and the other things that are just signs or branches of it, and so on and so forth. What follows is when you take something out of chronological order, the answer is that it's a logical order, or in a cause and effect order. So how can you say about Torah? So Torah, there is no chronological order. Correct. That's a mesuras, but that means there's a logical order. It's talking about chronology. So he will give, we're not going to go through it, because that's not the point, but he will give on his own an explanation of what's the logical organization of Mishpatim. Now he gives a hakdama about mitzvahs in general, and the role of mishpatim in the world of mitzvahs. Va'omer, kine besuga mitzvahs atoyris nimtzu minim mischalfin. There are different types of mitzvahs. I believe the first one that really categorized it was Reb Sadia Gaon, the first one we have at least. Ki yesh men shenekro edus. The first type of mitzvahs are called edus. Ve'ma mitzvahs hameidus al hemunas hamitis noras Hashem. Ki Shabbos, Aetius means they're there to reinforce, to give testimony to the events that are the expression of the emes of Hashem and Torah. Shetaimu yedua shem nezichem ma'asem neroim. That's one. Second, the yesh ma'amitzus min achen nikram chukim, shetaimu v'sibos ne'lomim mimenu v'lo yedanim, v'cheinu ma'ana shem chukim ha'melchus ha'reisa. So we have edus and we have chukim, which we don't have the understanding of what they're there for and so on. Very, very important to nuance it like that. The Rambam makes a point in Moreh Vuchim. To say that a choyk is a mitzvah without a reason makes it sound like a Kodesh Baruch Chas V'Shalom has whims. And same thing if we translate to a person does things without rhyme or reason is crazy. What it means is the reason for choyk is not graspable in terms of our physical world and or our physical mind. So these are mitzvahs that were given, the Olam HaMaisa was given to us, the Olam HaVana and Tfisa it was not given to us. V'yesh, and it says, U'shnei aminim elu, mevua bem achilu ve'elu she'eshin z'olaykis v'da sha'amis v'asem. So those two mitzvahs, we understand how they're different than the Goyesha rites and rituals. So we, our ma'adim testify to events that are true, genuine, and so on, and our chukim come from a world of emes. Avul, hamin ha'shlish ha'mitzvah, the third type, v'hu b'mishpatim u'dish al ha'veroi, pra yashiv choyshev she'en yisul mishpatim ha'loikim, al mishpatim ha'nushim v'askeim ha'shemnichim v'adut v'tzehem. Every normal society, any functioning society, I would say, has to have a legal structure to organize itself. What are the privileges of being a society? What are the consequences of stepping out of bounds? What are the boundaries? What are interactions like in buying, selling, and commerce, and so on? Define them. That's every civilized nation has that. So L'chura Torah is just another way. There's nothing qualitatively different. You could argue the laws are better or worse, but it's of the same type. B'yikshem k'nemay mashayir, it says, Magdor Yaakov, chukov u'mishpat of Israel, lo'oschein chol goyim mishpatim ayda'um. What does that mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not tell the mishpat? She'en kibbutz v'adam shayim b'nei mishpatim, every society must have laws. Ve'elash b'yishrav v'omer ma'ilech siv v'oiz melech mishpat ohev, omer ma'ish l'Yisrael. So mishpat is specifically, the word dinin over here specifically refers to the area of the mishpatim that we talk about, civil law, so to speak. And it says that God's Prophet gave the Torah in order to become the dinim. So you see that this is the focal point of Torah. So he asks two questions here. First of all, how can it be that mitzvahs, that at the end of the day concern whose lamb chops these are? That's all. We're talking about a sheep, and the question is who gets extra lamb chops? That should be so ruchnius. Two, and Chazal say that you can't go to a goyish court. Why not? As long as you have a legal structure to ensure that there's sort of a fair give and take, what's the problem? Those are the two rayas, so to speak, that he has, that mishpatim are not viewed upon as similar to Goyesha, but it's a different world, and we need to understand it. Shamishpotim Elokim Yuvdalu Mishamishpotim Noach Mishaumis Mishnet Elsumim. There are two major distinctions between our Mishpatim and the Mishpatim of Ribono Shel Olam. Echad, first of all, Mitzad Teva Mishpatim Atzmam Shelokim Kolam Dvarim Achadim Yirotze Mishpatim Pratim Oidvarim Achirim Ayitzim Adibris Mashalayim Tzu B'Mishpatei Ha'umois. So the first thing he says is that the mishpatim are branches of a deeper of the Aseres HaDibris. In other words, Aseres HaDibris is koil in itself these mishpatim. Let's talk a little bit about this and understand what I think is the content of this. Every set of laws, civil law I'm talking about, regulating commerce and financial interactions, really comes with a philosophical underpinning that you can't get away from. Lamashal, I'm sitting down to create a set of laws for a country. Now, what is my mindset? My mindset is commerce should be as free as possible, personal ownership should be as free as possible, and let's just avoid things that will obstruct the free market. And that's a certain mindset that creates a set of laws. And the laws, maybe one can say that those laws make for the most efficient market there is. So I'm gung-ho about market efficiency. And the laws, the details that come out are all reflections of that. A second person starts out from the standpoint of the benefit of society as a whole. And the laws, that the detailed laws, reflect that mindset. Is a minimum wage right or not? Is not. It doesn't have an objective scientific answer. It's based on a philosophy. Do I let the market do what it does no matter what? Or do I say no? Do I take the wealth of society as a whole and take that as a way I look at it? And so on. What does a government regulate? How much does it regulate? All of these things have a certain philosophy. Now, the civil law is it's a way to regulate society, and there's absolute need to regulate society, but it regulates it based according to some sort of preconceived notion of what's good and what's right and what's wrong. The Torah, the civil law of Torah, somewhere. It emanates from Aseres HaDibris. So in the right and wrong HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, its expression in details is what it says in Elam Mishpatim. Can we consciously associate one with the other? And a little bit not. But whether or not, still, that's the Metzias. So when a person is being Isaac in Chayshu Mishpat, and dealing with a monetary issue, the guiding hand behind it is something else. So I'll upon him. That's sort of the first reason why Mishpatim have a chshivas over the Mishpatim of Umisoylam is because they are branches of a much deeper understanding or a divine understanding. Then he says, "The Hina Kadosh Baruch Hu Ishmiel La'amo Aseres HaDibris Mamorim Tzarim." Hakadosh Baruch Hu told us Aseres HaDibris. Because he saw the rotos shmoi ein piagvura, I told us something the Braila. Because I didn't have the ability to listen to all the details, V'loyaschar. I'm sorry, I skipped a line here before. Vasheni. The second important thing is misara gmul v'aschar nit l'shem mishpat v'loyki maden akos v'ashrei. Because the schar we get on it. Nasha'en kein v'mishpatim v'eskem ne'odom ke'en v'em zulas tiknam dina v'kibutz v'em v'em schar v'loy gmul nitin me'akos v'ashrei. About getting schar from it, whether or not you get schar. I want to discuss this point also. L'chura, it sounds also arbitrary. If someone were to ask, why is Din Torah superior to civil law? So I'll say because the Kachbaruch gives schar for Din Torah, but doesn't give schar for civil law. Even if it's true, but it's not an essential truth. Just because Kachbaruch happens to like this one, says give that. That falls short of expressing any type of shivas for mishpatim, for Torah mishpatim. What it means probably is that the mishpatim of Torah shape and form and mold a person as well. Since this is the Ratzna Borei, and I'm following through, so I am becoming part of some sort of mahalach which is divine. My sense of fair and just and right and good all begin to pattern themselves after something divine. And therefore, there's a schar to it. Because the schar that we get for it is not just simply because since it says the Torah and we did it, we get points. It's the pshat. Since these laws emanate from a certain understanding, a certain perspective, which is Toiv, by doing them, a person becomes part of Toiv. A person is doing that. So the two advantages of Torah law over others is where it comes from and where it leads a person to. And it's Hainohach, obviously. But the point is, Mishpatim is the Lamaisa of Aseres HaDivris in one particular world, and the kiyum of Mishpatim leads the person to be shayach to the world of Aseres HaDivris. V'hina HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishmir L'am Aseres HaDivris V'amar M'tzarim V'kashe Yisrael L'rotza L'shmo Oin P'ya Gvura Al-Toldus V'toldus V'toldus V'divraim L'lo Yaschah Shigim Shrosim Hu Tzich Yisbaruch L'tzavis Esmoy Shishosif V'el HaMishpatim L'lo Yachshav Odom Shei Mitzis M'chudosh Adem Arhena. We should not think that these mishpatim are new. Kehem be'emes tzivuyim nechlol v'aseres ha'dibris. These are tzivuyim included v'aseres ha'dibris. L'zeh omar ve'ela mishpatim v'shazifem b'vav ha'etef. Vav ha'etef is what we call vav ha'chibur. The word etef is to envelope, to put it together. Kloima, sim lifneyem dvarim shenichlu b'dibris ha'shashamu. So ve'ela mishpatim means, and these are the details. Not we're giving something new, but you know, like this is the preamble is Aseres HaDibris. And now let me explain to you the concrete results of it. You know, how does it come into the Lemaisa? Klema sim advarim shechlu d'sashma v'lizeh omer v'lo lifnei goyim ke'ein zedeach mishpatim gam lo lifnei etyotis shechoyishin she'im b'dil esitz al shergas chaveri. In other words, we think that Lo Tzitzach is not to kill somebody. It's also, by the way, a lack of Derech Chachma. You know, people say, well, you know, I keep the Aseres HaDibris. Rabbi Feldman has in the Unorthodox Journal of an Orthodox Rabbi some cute stories, and told cute stories, but he has a cute story where a lady came to him and she apologized, not so frum, but she keeps Aseres HaDibris. So I said, oh, that's wonderful. It means you keep Shabbos. So she said, no, I only keep Aseres HaDibris. So he said, well, it's an Aseres HaDibris Shabbos. I said, are you sure, Rabbi? He said, absolutely. She said, just do me a favor, Rabbi, check once again to see if it's there. But the problem with keeping Aseres HaDibris is it's very possible to keep anything as long as it's general enough. Be good to thy fellow man, everyone keeps. the devil lies in the details of what is man and what's fellow man and what's good, and everything else everybody agrees on. So in Klolim is not going to be a real distinction. It's when you get to these pratim, that's where he says that a fool thinks that sense means not kill a person. What, when, what's called killing? When, how? So the Barmanel sums up that the understanding of Mishpatim as being on cursory glance, it seems similar to any other form of civil law. The problem is that the shirish of Mishpatim comes from a Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and its tachlis is that person's mizdabek HaKadosh Baruch Hu through it. Let's see one more piece. We have a few minutes. This is a fascinating Rebbe Nebuchaya. It says, Virapa Yirape. So the Rebbe Nebuchaya makes the following observation. Kol refuah bebasar dam lo metzunu b'chol haksuvim ki bedagish. Any human medical intervention is written resh pei aleph, like rape rape means that the doctor shall heal. V'chein ripino es bavo v'loin et pasa. We tried to heal bavo and it wasn't healed. Ava kadosh baruch hu metzina b'rafa. By kadosh baruch hu, it's usually written a fei, not a pei, which is because of refa'enu Hashem v'rafa. Uksim ha'roi filish v'aleiv, erfa mishubasam, v'yirafa l'kimes ha'vimelech, k'ni Hashem roi f'echa. So he marks this distinction. Let's explain in detail what the distinction is. The one of the primary roles of a dogish is when it makes an act into something strong, intended. For instance, shavar means he broke, shiber means he smashed. He deliberately went and smashed. The shomar means to watch, to guard, to keep. Shimer is to preserves. It's to preserve something. Shimurim are preserves. In other words, where you do an active intervention of sorts to counter something. That's a dogish chazak, and that dogish gives it a different. It's a different tense in Lashon HaKodesh. It's where you're doing something forcefully, deliberately, intensely, and so on. So he says, like the Atam is it. Ki refuah bebasar v'dam eina deitzar v'torach, u'sheyisbol asam o'mashka mar. First, I spoke about nachas, ein shom tzar klal, kibreus Hashem itasir lo'yosef etzet imo. So there are two ways in which a person can heal something. So for instance, let's give an example in a different area, but imagine somebody is coming to attack me, or a kid is acting up. So I can counter it with force, and if the person comes to attack me, I'll attack him. The child is acting up enough, I'll get a patch, and that's it. But if I understand the other person and what makes him tick, I can defuse it because I know that this person wants X and this thing motivates him. So I have a way in which to deal with him that I can defuse it and get him to do it naturally because I'm going with the grain of his nature and going with the grain instead of against the grain. That's the big difference between a person who's coming from the inside out or from the outside in. When you're healing something. So imagine a person has a growth. So I attack the growth. I can radiate it, I can cut it out, I can attack it with chemicals. By definition, that's always going to be some sort of abusive process. I'm countering force with force. There's going to be some fallout from it, always. Let's say I understand what makes the body produce this, and I heal the body so that instead of the body producing this growth or this obstruction in a vein or an artery, I get the body to not do it. So that's the other way around. It's not only is it not going to be a difficult process, it's going to be something which will come naturally to itself. So when we heal, we always heal by intervening. You have problem X, we counter it with force. There's always fallout. By definition, anything that is pushing back against some illnesses, whatever it is exerting force on itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fixing from within inside the body what's wrong, and therefore the body rights itself. So our first response was Nachas Einshem Tzarkal Kibes Hashem Itar Shloshim Etzem Imo. U'Masha Omer Chazal V'Rapi Rapi V'Kashid D'Rishus D'Roif V'Rapois L'Omer B'Maka She'B'Chush Kaz Medaba Bo Al-Chay Mifnim Ein Zetob Yad Roif V'Yarad Kobos Shred V'Chay. This is very interesting. This is actually a machlokas, a shayla. Doctors, we were given the power and ability to heal things. So he says, the Kadosh Baruch Hu endowed us with the power and ability to heal things from the outside in. And that's why medicine like that is always coming, it's invasive of sorts. From inside out, that stuff can be out of Shem. Why is it that this cell is decided to reproduce? Why is it that these cells keep mutating? Why is it this or that? That's beyond Hashem. We can deal with the situation and counter it. So we're always countering it rather than fusing. Okay, any questions, points, anything? Okay, so what? Okay, have a good day.
Thank you, Colton.
Take care, Colton. Bye.
Bye-bye.